Very thankful for the song service and certainly thankful for the humble prayer that was publicly offered on our behalf, and would continue to ask that you would pray for me and pray for yourselves and one another. You know, as I stated a few moments ago, the Word of God is powerful and it's quick. It discerns the thoughts and the intents of our hearts. And when God blesses the Word, not only to be preached, but blesses the congregation to receive it, it can bring about great change in an individual's life. Living out here in the world for 55 years or 75 years or 100, whatever God blesses us to live, brings forth its challenges. There are many things that confront us in life, and so often it's very difficult. I'm going to continue to look at overcoming things if the Lord would bless me this morning, but I thought about this song and it said, "Oh, help us, Lord." You know, the Bible tells us that if we're to overcome anything, it's by the strength of Jesus Christ. If you're attempting to be an overcomer and not let the things of life overcome you, you're not going to do it on your own. Many of God's people have made that attempt in life to walk by themselves, to walk alone in the pursuit of happiness and joy and peace. But ultimately, they'll hit a dead end. They'll never get there. They'll never have real peace. When Jesus said, "In me you shall have peace," that's what he meant. In the world you shall have trouble. It's only in Christ that we're going to truly find peace. We live in a country and in an age now that people are stressed out. They have difficulties with one thing after the other. Many of them are self-inflicted difficulties. But as I stated last Sunday, the Bible is not a book of suggestions and good ideas. It's a book that deals with real problems for people like you and I, for God's people, with real answers to what ails us. But if you don't study God's Word, if you don't listen to the gospel preached, then I tell you, you're going to have a great difficulty overcoming it. Not only do you need to be in fellowship and communion with the Lord Jesus Christ on a day-to-day basis, you need to have a personal relationship every day that you live. You need to understand that these are God's words. These are not my words. These are not some other brethren's words. These words are either the words of Jesus Christ or men who were under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. This is what God said. This is what God says you're to do to handle the difficulties or the problems that you have in life. That first line in that song, Brother Randall made a statement this morning that we might listen to the words when we sing. You know, I've been guilty of that so much in my life, of singing songs and not being able to tell you one thing that the song said. When I grew up as a young boy, I played the guitar just like my dad did, and the musical part of the song was what interested me. But I tell you, there are great words in these songs. It says, "Oh, help us, Lord, each hour of need." He is our only help, really. In time of need, he's our only help. God is our refuge and our strength, a very present help in time of trouble. Did you know that? God is very present and near you, whether you know it or not. He tells us in Hebrews chapter 13, "I will never leave thee nor forsake thee." I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. That thou may boldly say, "The Lord is my helper." Do you realize that if you don't feel the presence of Jesus Christ in your life on a daily basis, it's not because he forsake you, it's because you forsook him. It's because you walked in a way to not talk with the Lord. You know, there's a song, "Hand in Hand with Jesus." Are you walking hand in hand with the Lord each day of your life? This is the theme to anything we have in this life to overcoming it. It's to be in touch with Jesus Christ. To live every day to the honor and glory of his name. We pray to the Lord, asking for his presence in our life, that we might actually feel his presence. But we have the holy words of God set before us that directs us in how we should live, walk, talk, and deal with the problems of life. I'm going to look at three different things here in just a moment as we go on. It says, "Help us in thought and word and deed each hour on the earth that we live." Boy, do we ever need help with thought and word and deed. There's so much truth in this song and so much need for God's help in our lives in these areas if we're to be overcomers. You see, the word overcome means to conquer or to get the better of. And I believe throughout our lives, regardless of who you are, every child of God is dealing with this issue. There are circumstances and situations that arise and challenge you and confront you in life. And you either overcome them with the help of God's strength and power, or they get the better part of you. I spoke of it as being controlled. You're either in control of your life with the help of God, or the circumstances of life will have control of you. They will dictate how you feel, what you think, how much joy you have, how much happiness you have in your life. When the Lord says true happiness is in Him, true joy is in Him. Without Him, you can do nothing. You can't obtain these things, and they last. It goes on and says, oh, help us when our spirits bleed, when contrite anger soar. And I love this because I believe this is this tells of a lot of folks, of God's people in this country today. And when our hearts are cold and dead, oh, help us, Lord, the more. Sometimes God's people get cold and hardened in their hearts and they've lost their spirituality. That's when we need to turn more to the Lord. Oh, help us, Lord. It is God who can help us. It is God's words who will instruct us. You know, we begin, and I'll speak just a few moments before we get going, out of John chapter 15, as I did last week. In this chapter, in John 15, it talks about a vine and a branch. And in this chapter, that vine is Jesus Christ. It's rooted and established in the earth. It has all the nutrients and the moisture that it needs to supply every branch. You and I are the branches. Every child of God is a branch attached to this vine. He says, I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, ye can do nothing. You know, somebody might rise up and say, well, you know, I can get up and go do what I want to. But do you want to end up with a life that's successful, a life that's filled with joy and happiness? Yes, you may live in this life, but you may not have any joy and real peace. You may be stressed out all the time. Misery may be part of your life. If you want to be able to overcome the things that challenge each and every one of us, and I'll assure you they do, it must be hand in hand and in fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Not just on Sunday morning, every day. You must feel His presence. You must fall upon your knees and pray unto the Lord every day. Verse 6, if a man abide not in me. I want to tell you right now, there are folks who will take this verse and claim that this is talking about losing your eternal salvation. It has nothing to do with it. This chapter doesn't even deal in that area. This talks about a branch, a child of God, being severed apart from that vine, from the strength that he needs in life. When Paul said, I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me, that's the truth for every one of us. I don't care if you're a young person, an old person, a middle-aged person. We need the strength of Jesus Christ. And for you young folks, as you begin your life and you go out, I'll assure you that many of these challenges are going to confront you in life. And they're going to stress you out, and they're going to bring you to places that make you doubt and wonder. And if you want to get through those times, it's being connected and having fellowship with the vine, with the Lord Jesus Christ, day in and day out. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and withered. Have you ever cut a branch off of a tree or off of a vine and throwed it out on the away from it? You know, in short order, it dries up. The life goes out of it. You know, our eternal life was taken care of by the Lord Jesus Christ. But we can live in this life in such a way that we have no spirituality about us, I believe. We can get down and out and let the world control our thoughts, our happiness, our joy, our hope in Jesus Christ. And when this happens, men gather them, cast them into the fire, and they're burned. The Bible tells us over and over It is he that is in you that is greater than he that is in the world. But I'll tell you this much, he that is in you, Christ in you, the hope of glory, as we're told in Colossians chapter 1, Christ in you, the hope of glory, is greater than you. We're told in Galatians chapter 5, Paul says, the flesh lusteth against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh, and these two are contrary one to the other. There's an internal warfare going on in your life. And I ask you, what's getting the better of your life, the Spirit of God or your carnal flesh? We're going to deal with three things that I believe are high on that list this morning as we go forward. Jesus said he wouldn't forsake you. He's walking. He's always there. He's a very present help in time of trouble, in time of prosperity. Jesus hadn't left us. We may have left him. We may walk through life as though he doesn't exist, not seeking his help and honoring his name, but he didn't leave us. He said, I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee, that you may boldly say the Lord is my helper. Is God your helper day to day? The Lord is what helps us to get through things that are so difficult that we don't see a way to get through them. It is the Lord that gives us an inner peace to deal with the problems that confront us every day of our life. And if we're not in God's word, if we're not praying to God day in and day out, we begin to walk further and further away from God. We forsake the Lord. We're not drawing upon that eternal reservoir of strength and power that's in the Lord Jesus Christ. He is our strength, for it's in him that we live, move, and have our being. Now I want to go back for a few moments to the verse we started on last week in Romans chapter 12. Our text was verse 21, be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. As I stated, circumstances and difficulties and even prosperity, positive things in life, can certainly overcome you if you have the wrong perspective. They can. They can make you lose sight of the Lord in a number of ways. The overcoming or the evil under consideration in this verse or in this chapter is vengeance. Now before we start, we're going to go back to verse 17. It says, recompense to no man evil for evil. The Bible does not teach us that we should never experience anger in our life. It never teaches us that. But what the Bible does teach us is the right and the wrong way to deal with it. And according to the last verse here, it's possible that you and I can be overcome by the same evil that was used on you and I by someone else. In other words, you can go down into the gutter of rage and revenge and be just like that evil person or that person who exhibited evil in your life. When we do that, are we any better than they are? What kind of example are we? Are we a light shining in a dark place? Are we a light that shines where men will see our good works and our efforts that they might glorify our Father which art in heaven? You see, we live in this life for one purpose, to bring glory and honor to the Lord Jesus Christ. That's our purpose here. That's why God created you, for that purpose only. But it says here, repay to no man evil for the evil that he's shown you. I tell you what, this is something we've all experienced in life. And I'll admit to you, I've done this. I've tried to repay people with evil in my life. And I think every one of us have probably attempted that to some degree. We've experienced that in our life. That's what it's dealing with right here. And I want you to know there's another way. And we're fixing to look at it. You know, it's one thing to talk about overcoming things in life. It's another thing to look at God's word and look at what God says is how we're to handle being overcomers. You know, I've heard people say, I can't forgive or I can't keep from bringing out revenge on someone because of what they've done to me. Oh, yes, you can. Paul said, I can do all things through Christ which strengthened me. When people tell me they cannot do something, I don't buy into it. You may be unwilling to do it, but it's not that you can't do it. Because I don't believe there's anything that you and I cannot do with the help of Jesus Christ. The Bible teaches that. He's a very present help every day of your life. He is our strength and He is our refuge. Is He your refuge? Is He your strength? Is He your hope today, tomorrow, every day of the week? That's the Lord Jesus Christ. It says, recompense to no man evil for evil, provide things honest in the sight of all men. In other words, don't take revenge into your own hands, matters into your own hands. I tell you what, that's a hard thing to do. I'll tell you right now, without the strength, without the help of the Lord, we can't do it. I can't do it. And there's many in this congregation, I'm sure, would agree with me. I can't. Because I get mad, and sometimes I want to get even. I'm better than I used to be, but that's our nature. We get mad, we want to get even, we want to give those folks what they got coming to them, don't we? But the Lord says there's a better way. And He says, with the help of Jesus Christ and the strength of our God, we can. We can overcome. Because if we're not, and somebody presents to us or does something to us that we consider to be evil, brings great pain and suffering into our life, if we stoop down in the gutter with them and bring revenge upon them, we've been overcome with evil. We're no better than they are. We're not a better example than they are. You know, Paul said in Ephesians chapter 4, let no corrupt communication proceedeth out of thy mouth, except that which is good to the use of edifying, exalting, or lifting up, or building up, that it may administer grace unto the hearers. You know, if you ain't got something good to say, you shouldn't say anything at all. That's what that verse says. We can overcome evil. I'm not going to sit here and tell you today that it's easy. Without the Lord, you can't do it. That's a fact. So many of us have walked in life for a period of time on our own. You know, we hear that song made popular by Frank Sinatra and then later by Elvis Presley, I Did It My Way. I tell you, most of us did do it our way at one point in our life, and we done it the wrong way. We didn't do it the Lord's way. We done it our way, and I'll tell you, when you do it your way and not the Lord's way, you've often, or more than often, times done it the wrong way. There's only one perfect and right way, and that's the way of God. And it's a way that will help you as you grow up in your life, as young folks and old folks alike, to reap the blessings of Almighty God. You remember last week when I spoke out of Malachi that the Lord would open the windows of heaven and that you might receive blessings, or He might send blessings upon you too great to receive? I'm paraphrasing that, and it's not word for word. It is God's desire to bless us. It is God's desire for your life to be filled with joy. To be happy. Happy are that people whose God is the Lord. That's what God wants us to have in life. You know, I've been raised in the church for many years, and I've seen folks that believe that we ought to just, I believe, walk around in an unhappy state and live out this old life in gloom and doom, and then one day we'll go to glory and everything will be fine. Well, you know, we're told in Revelation chapter 21 that we inherited all things, not just eternal life. If that's all things, that's all that Christ has at our disposal today to fulfill our life, that it might be full and rich, and that you might really be happy, and that you might be filled with joy. Let's move on for time. He says, if it be possible, as much as it lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. There are some men that it's very difficult to live peaceably with. I understand that. But the Lord says here that you're to go down to the depths of your heart and soul, and you're to draw upon all the spiritual strength you have. Matter of fact, He says you go beyond that, to the rock of ages, to the Lord Jesus Christ, to that reservoir of strength and power, that you might be able to live and do all that you can. For that man who will not live peaceably with you does not give you the right to live unpeaceably with him. You're to do all you can. You're to be an overcomer. And by the strength of Jesus Christ, you can't accomplish this. Paul didn't just put this in here to fill up a page. He was inspired by the Spirit of God, and this is an absolute truth. You can't accomplish this in your life. He goes on here in verse 19, it says, dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. Oh, we're getting right down to where the rubber meets the road, aren't we? somebody does you wrong and you're going to get even with them, you're going to tell them how it is and you're going to straighten them out, and they're going to give as much pain and suffering in their life as they gave you. This is not the Lord's answers to our problems. Some people have made their mind up, I'll assure you, that this is what they're going to do in life no matter what happens. But I tell you, they're overcome with evil. I didn't say they were evil, they're overcome with it. And when they walk through the journey of life, I'll assure you, they're not feeling joy in their heart as they should. They're not happy as they should be, because they were disobedient to the command of Almighty God. We're commanded to live as peaceably as we can with all men. Now it says here, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. Where is the place of wrath? Have you ever considered that? You know, we all experience wrath. Has somebody ever made you mad and you begin to get angry, and in your mind you thought, I'm going to get revenge. I'm going to do this or that to that person. They're going to get what they got coming to them. I think every one of us sitting here today has had that experience at some point in our life, and probably more often than we want to admit. We want to take matters into our own hand. We want these people to get what they got coming to them. But I ask you right now, when you take matters into your own hands, when you take vengeance into your own hands, and you go and you inflict suffering and pain on this individual who brought pain and suffering to you, do you walk away truly feeling better? Do you walk away with a good taste in your mouth and think, oh, that was great? If you're like me, most of the time you walk away and you wonder, why did I do that? Why did I allow that to happen in my life? You know, the one thing that I've done in life to help me learn to control issues such as that is to let the dust settle, to back away and to walk off and to think about things before I speak to someone concerning issues that get all over me. If you don't, if you're a person who reacts, I promise you, you're going to come forth with your own vengeance. You're going to say things you didn't intend to say. You're taking matters into your own hands. But it says here that we're not to avenge ourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. I've found men in life and women in life and children in life who believe that God doesn't operate in a timely manner, so we're going to go ahead and get this taken care of for God. We ain't sure if the man needs to be repaid, but it's possible that he might, and we're going to go ahead and do that. The place of wrath is to give it to the Lord. That's the place of wrath. Give it to God. Put it in God's hands. You know, Brother Don, he has a number of issues in his life and a number of issues that many don't understand, and we're not getting into them. But I'm always asking him about a certain thing. He just says, I put it into the hands of the Lord. That's where we're supposed to leave it, at the feet of Jesus. We're to put it in the hands of the Lord. I'm telling you, if you're counting on your own strength and depending on yourself to get through these difficulties, it won't happen. You'll take vengeance into your hands. There's a place that we're to give wrath. Peter tells it like this over in the second chapter of 1 Peter. He says, Jesus said, he committed himself unto him that judgeth righteously. Do you realize that if someone in this congregation offended you and they need repaid for what they've done, the Lord knows far better how to repay them than you do? He knows what the right judgment is, for he's just and right and perfect in all his ways. That's the place of wrath. Give it to God. When you get mad at someone and angry, pray and tell God you're angry. Tell God that you want revenge, and then ask God to look through your blind anger that he might judge these folks right and repay them if they need it, and leave it in his hands. It's so easy to take those situations into our hands and do what we think's right because we're angry, because we believe them folks ought to get what they have coming to them. Notice what it says in verse 20. What happens if we come in contact with that person who brought pain and suffering into our life? What's Paul say? He says, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. This is something that most of us don't want to do. Jesus told us in the Sermon on the Mount, and unfortunately, we have more enemies in our life than we want to admit that are children of God. We'd always like to think that all our enemies are the wicked, But unfortunately, it's not that way. Jesus said, "And I say unto you, love your enemies. Bless them that curse you. Do good unto them that hate you. And pray for them that despitefully use you and persecute you, that you may be the children of your heavenly Father." I tell you, that's a tall order. To pray for those who've done you wrong, who don't like what you're doing. But friends, when you get out in the gutter of anger and rage and revenge, you become just like they are. You're not a light shining in a dark place. It says here, "For in doing so thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good." Do you realize that all our sins are finally against God? They're incidentally at times against one another, but they're all finally against God. When the prodigal son in Luke 15 came back, he said, "For I've sinned against heaven and in thy sight." Our sins are against God. Incidentally, throughout our lives, they may be against someone else, but they're finally all against God. It takes the blood of Christ to cover those sins. Do you know that your good in life is far more powerful than someone's evil? A lot of people wouldn't consider that to be the truth, would they? The Bible tells us that light is righteousness. That's the example given. And darkness is evil or unrighteousness. We're told in 1 John chapter 1 and verse 5, "This is the message that we've heard of him and declare unto you, that God is light, and in him is no unrighteousness at all," or darkness at all. God is light. Do you know that when the sun comes up in the morning, darkness is extinguished? Do you know that light of God extinguishes all darkness? When you turn on the light in the bedroom at night, it extinguishes darkness. It doesn't mean it's not anywhere in the universe. But God is light. Good is light. Good has more power than evil does. It's harder to do the right thing, isn't it? To turn it over to God and not to take matters into your own hands. But that's exactly what the Apostle Paul says here. Be not overcome. Be not conquered by evil, but conquer evil, or get the better of it with good. Good is more powerful than evil. God is more powerful than darkness. Aren't you thankful? Let your light shine before men. Let your light shine before your husband, your wife, your children. Honor God in all that you do. For he will never leave thee nor forsake thee, that you may boldly say every day of your life that the Lord is my helper. And I shall not fear what men shall do unto me. When the Lord is with you, you don't care what anybody else does unto you. You care about pleasing Jesus Christ, walking in his ways and honoring his name. And he will supply what you stand in need of. He will give you joy that you can't find in this world. He will give you peace that's not found in this world. You can truly be happy. Now I want to look at one other thing and move on. And it kind of relates to this. There were three things I wanted to talk about this morning. It was vengeance, forgiveness, and death. They rate high on the list of things that are difficult for us to overcome in life. But with the help of Jesus Christ and the strength of our Lord, we can't overcome them. How hard is it to overcome an unforgiving heart? You know, we're told by the Apostle Paul, let's go to Matthew 18 for just a moment. In Matthew chapter 18, the Lord Jesus Christ tells us and told Peter that he was to forgive his brethren 7 times 70. You know, Peter stood up and said, you know, it was a tradition among the Jews that you would give them 4 chances. And after that, there was no forgiveness. So Peter, being bold at that time, asked Jesus Christ, should I forgive him 7 times? And Jesus said, 7 times 70. In other words, Jesus said an infinite number, one that you can't keep up with. You're to continue to forgive your brother. But you know, this is something we all deal with in life too. Verse 7, it says, "Woe unto the world because of offenses, for it must needs be that offenses come. I'm assure you, if you live in this world, you're going to get offended by somebody. Somebody's going to offend you in your life. The question is, do you forgive them? Again, it's not that you can't forgive them, it's you're unwilling to forgive them. Anybody that doesn't forgive is unwilling to forgive. That's all there are to it. You can, you know, take that any way you want to, but that's the truth. You're just unwilling to forgive. I think about what Paul said in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 32. He says, be ye kind one to another and tenderhearted. Tenderhearted. Forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake has forgiven you. If we're going to ever forgive as we ought to forgive, we can never lose sight of the forgiveness we have in Jesus Christ. Did you deserve to be forgiven? Did you turn things around in your life in such a way that God was obligated to forgive you? Absolutely not. We were forgiven for the sake of Jesus Christ and Jesus Christ alone. All your sins were paid for and they were forgiven. If you're truly going to forgive from the heart, as the Bible teaches, you've got to always keep that in the forefront of your mind, or you can't forgive your brothers and your sisters. Verse 35 says, so likewise shall my heavenly Father do also unto you if you from your hearts forgive not every one his brother their trespasses. We're to forgive everyone that trespasses against us. We need forgiveness in our lives. We need to forgive one another. The Bible tells us to forgive everyone that offends us. Now, you know, one problem we have as God's children is we make a list of qualifications that we require so that you can be forgiven. But did the Lord make a list of qualifications to forgive you? He said, your sins and iniquities I will remember no more. Did we have to do something to be forgiven? No, but God, who was rich in mercy for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, has quickened us together with Christ. By grace are you saved. You were forgiven despite all the sins and offenses you had against God's divine and holy law, against him. If you want to forgive someone else, you need to always consider what you were forgiven of in your life. It wasn't limited. It didn't come with conditions. If it had, none of us would have been forgiven. None of us would have any hope. Forgiveness is not an option. It's a commandment. But when the Bible teaches us to overcome something, it tells us through Jesus Christ we can, but it also tells us what the consequences are if we don't. And unfortunately, I've known people like this in my life. The Lord says here to this unjust servant, or this servant who went out and demanded repayment after he had been forgiven such a great debt. And the Lord was wroth and delivered him unto the tormentors till he should pay all that he was due unto him. What are the tormentors? What is it that tortures you in your life? I believe God turns you over to the emotions of misery, unhappiness, no joy. That's where you'll be if you don't forgive. You'll live without peace, without assurance sometimes, in a state of misery. No real joy in your life. God's serious about forgiveness. He really is. I've known people who are miserable, unhappy. They've had the root of bitterness spring up in their hearts. Yeah, they eat, breathe, and drink, and they go through life, but they have no real joy. I believe this is what happens when you and I fail to forgive, because we're commanded. It's not an option. We can't overcome. Forgiving's not easy, but with the help of Jesus Christ, we can. That's the central theme of this message and every other message, is the Lord Jesus Christ. He is our all in all. He is our everything. He is our refuge and our strength, a very present help in time of trouble, in time of prosperity. We can boldly say the Lord is our helper. When we don't think we can do it, we can depend upon his strength when we're fellowshipping with Him, as we should. Forgiveness is not easy. Not taking vengeance into your own hands is not easy. And if you go it alone, you're going to fail. The only way we can overcome is to dip into that reservoir of strength and power that's within us, the Spirit of God. The Lord Jesus Christ. Christ in you, the hope of glory. That's how we do it. Because it's not easy. The last thing I want to look at as we're running out of time here is death. We've all experienced death in some manner in our lives. Death is a very difficult thing to deal with. And it can be very hard to overcome. I know from my own experience, just as many of you do, that it can be a hard road to go down. But if we don't have the right perspective and understanding of death, we can be like Jacob. Remember over there in Genesis chapter 37, we find where Joseph was an overcomer. He was left to die by his brothers, sold into slavery, lied about by Potiphar's wife, cast into prison and forgotten. And yet, he never lost sight of the Lord, and he continued to do what was right. His strength was in Jesus Christ. His strength was in God. But when Jacob heard of his death and seen his coat, believed he was torn by an evil beast, he said, "I'll go down into my grave mourning." And his sons and daughters came to comfort him, but he refused to be comforted. Now, I want you to know that death is not easy, and I'm not here to act like it's something that you get over in a few minutes, because it's not. But I'll tell you one thing, if you let the death of someone you love control your life, you won't have much life left. I'll assure you. I'm a living witness, and I can tell you some more, that by the grace of God, that you can overcome it and you can go on. I wanted to talk a little bit about being overcoming the past, but it ties in with this. Paul said in Philippians chapter 3 not to look back. Not to look back. We can't live in the past. We can't change it. But I think about Jacob, and then I think about David. David said, "Although I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me." God said he was with. David knew that the Lord was with him. And he wasn't just talking about death itself, the sting of death. I believe he embraced it there. He's talking about the dark times that he went through in life when Saul was chasing him and Absalom was chasing him and trying to put him to death to be king in Israel. But he said the Lord's with him. But I think about the time when he committed the sin with Bathsheba. And she was found with child. And in 7 days, the child died. And let's go to 2 Samuel. I want to read a few things. We've got to have the right perspective of death. And I believe David had it in 2 Samuel chapter 12. It didn't mean that he didn't care for the child any longer. It didn't mean that he loved him any less. But he understood something that we need to all understand. It says in verse 18, "And then it came to pass on the seventh day that the child died." In verse 19, "But when David saw that his servants whispered, David perceived that the child was dead. Therefore David said unto his servants, Is this child dead? Is the child dead? And they said, He is dead. Then David arose from the earth and washed and anointed himself and changed his apparel and came to the house of the Lord and worshipped. And then he came to his own house, and when he inquired, they set bread before him, and he did eat. Then said his servants unto him, What thing is this that thou hast done? Thou didst fast and weep for the child while he was yet alive, but when the child was dead, thou did rise and eat bread." This was astonishing to these folks. For 7 days he fasted and mourned over this child. He knew that judgment had been pronounced on him from Nathan the prophet, that God would judge him for his sin. But he thought, you know, maybe God will show kindness. Maybe God will show goodness, and maybe God will shed mercy upon me. He didn't know. He says, and he said, "While the child was yet alive, I fasted and wept, for I said, Who can tell whether God will be gracious to me that the child may live? But now he is dead. Wherefore should I fast? Can I bring him back again? I shall go to him but he shall not return to me. Unless you and I can keep that perspective in life, that one day, in short order, no matter what your age is, in short order, I will go to them. They cannot come to me, but I will go to them. You can't get through. We were born to die, not born to live on this earth forever. I believe we're to live a happy and full life, and that's what God intends. But David knew that one day he was going to go where that son died, went. He knew he could never bring him back. That's how you and I are. And when we have that in the forefront of our minds, it helps us to deal with death. It really does. I've seen folks who had a loved one die, and they never got over it. It destroyed their lives. Now, I didn't get over it in a few days. Most people don't. But by the grace of God, I can tell you right now and testify that I was able to overcome and move on. And I can show you others in this same congregation. But I can also show you those in life who never got over it. Their lives were destroyed and they were not able to move on. They lived, but they didn't have any joy. They lost their happiness. But friends, I'm telling you, there's coming a glorious day when you'll see those folks again. Life on this earth is not the end. When a young person dies, we call it a tragedy. When an older person dies, we expect it. But yet there's always pain and suffering and death. But I think about what Paul said as I close this morning. We think about needing to look at death and life as he did. Paul said in Philippians chapter 1 and verse 21, "For me to live is Christ and to die is gain." Think about that for a moment. You know, the loss to you and I is because we're still here. There's not a child of God that ever died that it wasn't gain. I don't care if it was an infant, like David's 7-day-old infant or child, or they were 100 years old. When we die, it's gain. We're in the presence of Jesus Christ, in the fullness of that inheritance that we'll have. So I believe when we look at it as Paul looked at it, for me to live is Christ, the same message I've been trying to preach to each and every one of you, if you want a life filled with joy and happiness, it's to live with Christ in mind every day. You know, Paul said he was between a hard spot. I'll make it simple. He wanted to leave. He said, "It's far better for me to depart and be with Christ." But he said it was needful for him to stay. And he said, "For me to live is Christ." I hope that's what you say. When we have that perspective, when we know that no matter who passes from this life and dies, that it was gain, and that in short order we'll be there. You know, James said our life is but a vapor that appeareth for a little time and vanisheth away. You know, I look back, I'm 55 years old, and it seems like I was a kid just a few moments ago. It really does. That's how fast time is moving along. I believe God intended for you to live the fullest life. And there are many challenges and many things in this life that you and I need to overcome. Young people, they lie ahead of you in this life. They will. You will face them. You will be confronted with difficulties in life. Don't let those difficulties or even that prosperity conquer you. Don't let it overcome you. Overcome it by staying in fellowship and communion with the Lord Jesus Christ. If you want that kind of life, that's what it's going to take. If you go it alone, down the road you're going to fail. You're going to have misery. You're not going to have happiness. Jesus said, "These things I've spoken unto you, that in me, your joy might be full, your peace might be filled, that you'd be happy." That's what the Lord wants. He wants you to be happy, to live a full and rich life. But we're not in tune with Him, if we're not connected to Him, if we're not in sweet fellowship, walking hand in hand with the Lord every day, going it our own way, these things in life will overcome us. They will control us. And we'll lose our happiness and our hope and our joy a lot of times. May God bless us to be overcomers. And may God bless us to walk hand in hand with our Lord every day that we live. May God bless you. This is my prayer this morning. I thank you for your attention.